Most of the time when I'm going to be honest, most of the time a lot of people that like to read, they read like high plot books, right? Like they read big fantasy novels and big epic quests or mysteries, or they love a good Agatha Christie or something, you know? Mm-hmm. And this is a different experience.
Welcome to Proofread, a podcast to help you read more of what you love and less of what you don't.
Welcome to Proofread. My name is Tyler. I am an English professor, and I don't read nearly as much as I would like, although most people think I do read all the time, which I just don't. I wish I did more. I've got young kids at home. I don't get to read very much, and this podcast is a great way for me to read in all sorts of areas and get a good beat on what's going out there and where I should spend my time.
And I'm Casey, another professor who does read a lot. So you are in good hands. I'll tell you what to read, what to skip.
So our book for today is a book called Gilead by Marilyn Robinson. This book is a bit older. It was published in 2004. I'm going to give you too much information about Marilyn Robinson because I really like her. But a couple things about this book. The reason to go back to an old one is that this won the Pulitzer Prize in 2005. Last year, the New York Times came out with the best 100 books of the 21st century. What place do you think Gilead came in on that list?
40.
10.
Really?
Number 10 on the New York Times list of the best 100 books of the 21st century. Number 10. There's some other novels that Marilyn Robinson has written in relation to this that involve the characters of this book, but this was kind of the first one. She wrote some essays and some nonfiction stuff, but this was the first fiction book she'd written since 1980. So it was cool when it came out. This book is interesting because not a lot happens in the book, but at the same time, a lot happens. The premise is it's an old pastor in the Midwest. So it's set in, you know, middle of the 20th century, 1950s, Iowa, small town. There's a pastor. He ends up getting married late in life, and he has a child late in life. And this book starts where he's at the beginning of realizing that he has a heart condition and he's just not going to be around for a long time. So he has a young son and a younger wife. And he begins writing this thing to his young son, like an epistle, whatever
it's epistolary to his 7-year-old son.
Yeah. I'm just going to read the opening line for you. I told you last night that I might be gone sometime. And you said, where? And I said, to be with the good Lord. And you said, why? And I said, because I'm old. And you said, I don't think you're old. And you put your hand in my hand. And you said, you aren't very old, as if that settled it. And that's kind of that's the opening line, and that's where you get right into this beginning epistle where he's, you know, what can I write and give my son? He talks about, I hope you come to this later. Maybe you'll get this as an adult, but he's trying to leave something for his son. So that's my overview of it. We can talk more about this, of course, but let's get to our favorite part here. Read or skip. 1, 2, 3.
Read.
Yes. I love when we're in sync.
I do too.
Actually, it's kind of fun when we're not in sync too.
Yeah, it's all fun.
It's all good times. Go ahead, Case. What do you think?
I think this book is worth reading. This is a beautiful book. This is a very literary book. And let me tell you the reason why I think you should read it or maybe listen to it. I started reading it and I was like sort of bored and could hardly pay attention. I was like skimming for plot points. This is a reflection on my attention span. And I switched over to listening to it. And that's when I noticed, you know, it's not its best as a skimmable book. It's best to read it and even hear it because it's like poetry. It's a beautiful language. And it's really slow and not that much happens.
But it's lovely.
But it's lovely. And like I said, I do think you should read it. It's worth reading. It is literature that's quite beautiful.
So we read a lot. I mean, I'm right there with you because I think we read a lot for plot.
Yes.
We read a lot for what's the story? What's it? Is it mystery? Mm-hmm. What's uncovering? And there is a bit of a mystery in this, you know, that's subtle and it kind of like
it's you're, super subtle.
Yeah. You're trying to like, wait, what's happening? Because he starts, this man's narrating this story, this old reverend, right? He's just kind of giving some thoughts to his son. But in the midst, some characters show up from his past. Then he starts to try to navigate through them and think through that. And so you learn about his life in interesting ways. But it isn't something where you're like, I'm just going to skip ahead to where the thing happens because you'd be missing the whole book.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's you had said this is a book that you really love and that you always recommend to people. And so I hadn't read it. I didn't read it when it first came out. So then I was reading it and I was like, what is it? What is it? What is it? Some weird mystery? What is it? What is it? What is it? And it's nothing. It's just a beautiful, well-written book. It is an interesting story, And why do you always recommend it to people?
I recommend this to people because I think when they see, oh, you're an English professor, give me a book to read, right? Most of the time when I'm going to be honest, most of the time a lot of people that like to read, they read like high plot books, right? Mm-hmm. Like they read big fantasy novels and big epic quests or mysteries, or they love a good Agatha Christie or something, you know? Mm-hmm. And this is a different experience, right? This is like a literary text that you're kind of Marilynne Robinson said that when she writes fiction, you know, one of the things about fiction is that it's the experience of trying to live on another set of nerves, which is kind of a nice way to think about.
That is a nice way to think about
when
it.
When you're in this book, you are in a different perspective.
Yeah.
You're in a different world and you're thinking through like you've ever been curious. What was a pastor thinking in the 1950s yeah. Iowa?
And I loved it. And it's very relatable and I thought it's worthwhile. Now, any kind of just beautiful book like a poem, I wouldn't tell everyone to read that because I think.
Correct.
Sometimes maybe just a matter of taste or you're in the mood for like a poem about a juicy watermelon or a bird mm-hmm. or something, beautiful language. But this I actually think you should read because this is just like a very calm and thoughtful treatise about how to be.
Yeah.
So it's the content also is, I think, people should read it. It's not just that it's lovely. It's also this guy who writes the letters, his progenitors embody a debate that I have in my life. He has this fighting great grandpa who like fights yeah. against slavery and like sabotages soldiers and things like that. And then he has this pacifist father.
Yeah.
And that is a tension that in me that I often think about all the time. I love Martin Luther King. I love this idea of just like peaceful resistance. But then there's this other kind of idea of like fight for what you believe in and be feisty. And it's very interesting. So that's his dad and his – and this takes place – this is in the context of slavery that he's talking about this.
Yeah, when he's telling the history
about
of his grandfather.
History, yeah.
This is set in 1950s.
It's set in the
1950s, talking about his grandfather.
Yeah. So his great-grandfather was there and
– moved out to Kansas to be a free soiler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the history is kind of fun, but it's interesting. And then one of the quotes from it. Okay, so that's an issue. That's mm-hmm. a tension that, like, even though I'm
yeah.
living on this guy's set of nerves, but it actually is relevant and modern because
totally.
That's a tension that I often think about. And he just says, so his dad, his grandpa says to his dad, I'll pray that you grow up a brave man in a brave country. I will pray you find a way to be useful. And I've actually just been thinking about that lately. That's what I'm trying to do is just find a way to be useful.
Mm-hmm.
And this book, when I just like slowed down and was like, what's got to have some weird, crazy plot twist because Tyler always recommends this. What's it going to be? What's it going to be? It wasn't. It was just, this is just a beautiful, he's just thinking about things he's done, things he regrets, how to be, how to reconcile these different ways of living. And he is a minister. It talks about how to minister to people.
Yeah.
It's a lot about how to take care of people who are suffering. And it's just, I love this guy. It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
It made me really think, I am thinking about these things too. And I'm, you know, looking at my life. And another thing, this is like a quote. Well, he says, my only role is to be gracious. This is when he's like dealing with his flock and
yeah.
his congregation. And I thought, how wonderful. Like, what if I just focus on being gracious? And then he says, God might enjoy us, just watching us, not always morally judging us. Your existence is a delight to us. This is an idea of a God that is like just kind of enjoying us. And that resonated so much for me because I feel like that about my children. I'm just happy that they're there. They're just a delight to me. And I never thought, could I be just be a delight to someone else? That's a really beautiful thing that I got out of this book.
And it's interesting because it's coming out of where he's thinking about his young son. The very existence of his young son
mm-hmm.
is this delight. And the existence of his wife, he didn't think he'd be
exactly.
married or have
it's
a son.
It's all a surprise to him.
It's all this great surprise. One of the things that I think about with this book is the sense of the author, you know, is like, oh, this is a religious book, right? Like, oh, this is religious fiction or something. And she has this really great response to this. She got asked this in an interview that I wrote down. She said, I don't like categories like religious and not religious. As soon as religion draws a line around itself, it becomes falsified. It seems to me that anything that is written compassionately and perceptively probably satisfies every definition of religious, whether a writer intends it to be religious or not.
Yeah.
And what she's doing is like, don't put me in the corner of saying like, oh, this is a religious thing. It's like over here. She's actually saying, really, really, if it's compassionate, perceptive, then that's just as religious as my definition for me.
Yeah.
So whether this is about a pastor or not, right? The point here is you're reading a novel that's really perceptive and intentional.
Yeah, and he's a pastor. I'm not a pastor, but he's asking the questions that I'm asking. I just thought it was so wonderful. He has a sermon that he wrote that he regretted, and I was like, what's this going to be? He burned it, you know? And again, it's just something that he thought might hurt the feelings of the people in the audience, even though he was right about it. And it's a sermon that he never gave. I'm just like, that's my whole life, you know, sermons I wish I never gave. But it's just a lovely reflection. And then he does, this is what I wanted to ask you when I read it. So he says, my father, so this is the actual guy talking about his dad, left me a trade, which is a pastor, because his dad was a pastor, a minister too, which happened also to be my vocation. Now, I love thinking about vocation. And I'm a teacher. I feel like it is a vocation. I'm something I'm called to. Do you feel like that too?
I think so.
You can say if you don't. It's lucky to have your job be a vocation.
Yeah.
So I related to that a lot too, where this guy, he's like, I'm a preacher. I inherited this job, but it is my vocation. I really care about it.
Yeah. And he's kind of like self-conscious about the fact that like, oh, you're a preacher because your dad was a preacher.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That's the point he's making, right? It's like, I was called to this and I have these gifts that are meant for this.
Yeah.
So I think that those are all part of the reasons that this is like...
Well, number 10 on the 100 best books.
I want to read a passage here just kind of going on the sense of this book can be a spiritual experience. Whether you're religious or not, it can be a spiritual experience. And what I mean by that is in this passage here, he says, I've been thinking about existence lately. In fact, I've been so full of admiration for existence that I have hardly been able to enjoy it properly. As I was walking up the church this morning, I passed the rows of big oaks by the war memorial, if you remember them. And I thought of another morning. Fall a year or two ago, when they were dropping their acorns thick as hail almost. There was all sorts of thrashing in the leaves, and there were acorns hitting the pavement so hard they'd fly past my head. All this in the dark, of course. I remember a slice of moon, no more than that. It was a very clear night or morning, very still. And then there was such energy in the things transpiring among those trees, like a storm, like travail. I stood there a little out of range and thought, it is all still new to me. I have lived my life on the prairie, and a line of oak trees can still astonish me.
Yeah.
And that in some sense is for me like the experience of reading this is...
Exactly.
You get to join with this writer as he pays attention to the relationships around him, to the work, to his family history, to...
Nature.
The perspective. And you just get to, as he's enjoying these specifics, you just get to enjoy them as well. And kind of, I think that's the dazzling part of this book is it's slow. It's not like fast paced. It's not like, oh, yeah, this is the. I mean, there's a plot, of course, but there's not a lot going on. But that's why you can't skip over it. Is that
exactly.
The goal is
you can't skip it.
Be with me here in this moment.
Exactly. It's be with me right now, like this meditation and being present. And I will say, I mean, it's incidental that he is a pastor because he's thinking all of these things. He could have been a shoemaker or whatever. But he does say, I have a quote too. I did begin to wonder if I liked the church better with no people in it.
Very Emersonian thing to say.
Which I thought was kind of funny, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. It's a very good book.
So if you're thinking about categorizing this book, Casey, where would you put this on your shelf?
I would put this shelf on the shelf called Slow Down and Read.
Ooh, Slow Down and Read. Mm-hmm. Maybe that should be the tagline of this podcast. Slow down and read.
Yeah, the slow down and read shelf. It's worth, not all books are worth slowing down and reading.
No.
Some you should skim, but this one, slow down and read.
Yeah.
What about you?
I think I would say the same thing. Something along the lines of like I said, I think this brings up the question for me of why do we read?
Yeah.
What do you want from a reading experience? And if you're looking for a quick kind of mystery to kind of get excited, you know. But if you want a meditative kind of thoughtful moment to walk around kind of looking at the world a little bit deeper, then this is the kind of read for that. So I would say a deep read.
Yes, it is exactly
that's
that.
My deep read shelf. Okay, well, this, like I said, is one of Marilyn Robinson's books. She's got a whole collection. There's 4 Gilead novels too. So if you want that same experience, Casey, you can keep reading in there. But as for now, Marilyn Robinson, your novel Gilead, you've been proofread.
Yeah. Yeah. professional podcasters.
I fear I may be being too sincere.
I don't think so. No. With this book, you have to be.
You have to.
Not
be,
every
right?
book is like this.
That's good. Okay.
Proofread is a production of BYU Radio and is produced by Jeff Simpson with help from Erica Price, Becca Hurley, and Lisa Valentine Clark. Find us on YouTube at Proofread Podcast for video clips and more. And please follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Thanks for spending your time with us today, and happy reading.